And 1, 2, 3. Okay, for the tape, I was asked to make sure we use the microphone. But does everybody have an outline? Okay. If we could just start with a word of prayer, I'd appreciate it. Fathers, we are before you this morning. We just want to let you know again that we love you, and we are just so thankful to be here. And we thank you for your love and for your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace that is new every morning. We thank you for your word that speaks to us and changes us. We thank you that we can call you Abba Father and know that we can come before you at any moment of the day or night and know that we have an immediate audience with you. We thank you that, again, nothing is too hard for you and nothing is too difficult. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you want to make us more like Christ. And so we thank you for all of that and know that what you start, you will finish. As we go through our morning now, in this session, we pray that you would give us insight and understanding, that you would give us wisdom, that you would speak to us from your word and from each other, and we just pray that when we leave this place, that we would know that we have been in your presence, that we have heard your voice, that we are not the same, and that we are ready to do warfare well. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had someone say to you, I've got some good news and some bad news? There was a lady that went home one day, and you know, she just had a wonderful, wonderful day, except for one incident that took place. And so her husband came home, and he had a really tough day at work. And so he walked in the door, and his face was just burdened with all that had happened during the day. She said, well, honey, I've got some good news and some bad news. And he said, oh, you'd have no idea what my day has been like. Don't tell me any bad news whatsoever. I just couldn't handle it. It's been such a hard, difficult day. So she thought for a second. She says, well, you know that brand new car we just bought? The airbags work. We have three kids, and I am just so blessed with where they're at in school. John is a senior, and he got a 32 on his ACT, so he has a full ride to college already, and so he's just thrilled with that. We have another son who just started high school. He's played saxophone, just loving it. And then our daughter just started middle school, and they're wonderful kids. But there's a problem. In the summertime, they're at home, and things are kind of hectic because the schedules are not the same. And so you do a lot of running, and it's like you have this taxicab sign on top of your car. It's just you're running all the time, and then you just can't wait for school to start for them to get back into the routine, and that's wonderful. That's the good news. But the bad news is they would come home and say, Dad, I got a question. And they'd ask me stuff that I had not a clue how to answer. Usually it's in math. They come home with algebraic equations, and they come home with questions. I thought, it's been such a long time. I don't know algebra anymore. Tell you what, go ask your brother. And I remember when I was in school, my dad said I got through just by the skin of my teeth. I just did enough to get by. Well, he even said I was in that one-third of the class that made the top two-thirds possible. I remember we would take spelling bees, and I was just so nervous because when it came to me, they would give me a word that I just couldn't pronounce it. And so I couldn't spell it. And so sometimes I would, you know, try and try, but I just couldn't do it. So I'd do everything I could to maybe gain a little extra time so I could think. And so the lady would come up maybe and say, Mark, spell Mississippi. It's like, oh. The river of the state. You know, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. That, I'm sure that one didn't. But good news and bad news. Went to CareNet 3 years ago. Oh, just a great time being with different people around the country and just learning about all the different centers. As you notice, there's not a lot of men at the CareNet conference. And so 3 years ago, we were there, and every single meal they had salad. And, you know, salad's good, but I don't really care for salad that much. And they would put the salad in front of us, and it was stuff that I'd never seen before, that I never, when I go to the salad bar, I never put on my plate. But all the ladies around the table are like, oh, this is so neat. Look at the leaves. And I'm thinking, it looks like the stuff that blows across your yard. It just doesn't look good to me. But every single meal was kind of like that. And then they would give little portions, you know, very delicate and petite. And I'm thinking, I'm starving. One lady came, asked a man that was at the table, how'd you find your steak? Well, I just moved the potato and there it was. It was really good, but the meals weren't there. But last night, we were here early, and we had a meeting with the executive council, and the food is wonderful. So I'm sure as we're here, we're going to enjoy every single part, not only the sessions, but the food's going to be good too. When you think about good news and bad news, and you look into God's word, it is good news. And we have something to share with every single person that walks through our door that's good news. And if I could just remind you of some of the good news that you have, that you can remind yourself of, and I'm sure as you do, it's going to pick you up and build you up. My prayer is that at the end of this session, you will be edified, encouraged, because God loves you. And he has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has called you, and you are right where he wants you to be. He will never leave you or forsake you. There is nothing that he cannot handle. Every problem that you face, he can handle it for you. He loves you so much that he calls you the apple of his eye. You are a handmaiden of his. He created you just like he wanted you to be. Sometimes you might look in the mirror and say, "Oh, Lord, what did you do?" But he looks and says, "You are a masterpiece. He crafted you and created you." And the good news is he has a plan for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you a hope and a peace. He gives you a peace that goes beyond understanding if we'll simply rest in his presence. The good news is that God is with you every moment of every day. And there is nothing that's going to come into your life that he hasn't first allowed. And so when it gets to you, he can handle it for you. The good news is that he loved you before you even knew that he existed. While you were yet a sinner, while I was yet a sinner, he died for us. He had his son die on the cross for us so that we could be forgiven of our sin, made pure. Even though our sins made us red as scarlet, we are brand new, white as snow. We are a brand new creation in him. And the good news is that one day the trumpet is going to call and we will be taken to be with him, and we will be with him forever, and we will join loved ones that have gone before us who are now cheering us on. We will be with them for an eternity. That's good news. The good news is that God is here, and he wants to do a special work in your life at this conference. That's the good news. The bad news is we have an advocate in heaven, but we also have an adversary who hates us, and he is out to destroy us. He's considered like a lion roaming around seeking someone to devour. If you've never read Revelation chapter 12. I'd like to take a few minutes and just read through that, because it tells us exactly why we have spiritual warfare and why it is that we're walking around with a target right in the middle of us. And Satan is looking for us to do a work in our life to destroy us. And we need to be aware of that. But why is it? Well, in Revelation chapter 12, I'm sure you didn't bring your Bibles with you. Actually, did anybody bring your Bible with you? You guys are good. You got your swords handy. Revelation chapter 12, a picture is given in heaven as what took place in the past and what is going to be taking place in the future. And as you read through Revelation chapter 12, it talks about a battle that took place in heaven. And it says, beginning in verse 1, I'm reading from the New International Version, "A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short.' When the devil saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she might be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's why we have a war. That's why we need to understand what spiritual warfare is all about, because the devil hates you and he hates me. Why? Because we hold to God's commands and the testimony of Jesus. Because we have given our lives to God and we said, Lord, would you come into my life and take control? Would you be my Lord and Savior? And Jesus has made you a brand new creation in him, and you're becoming more like Christ every moment of every day. He hates you because you look like his adversary who he was out to destroy. In the very beginning, Genesis 3:15, God said, Satan, you have deceived the woman, and so the curse is on them, but a curse is on you as well. You're going to be on your belly all the days of your life, and her offspring will crush your head, but you will strike at his heel. So from that moment, he's been looking for her offspring to crush him so that his head might not be crushed. And so Jesus was born there in the manger. Satan, here's my chance to get rid of God's son, this infant. It's going to be a piece of cake. He put into Herod's mind, you've got to get rid of that king. So the Magi came. They said, where is the king that has been born, king of the Jews? You find him and then come back and let me know. Well, then God spoke to the Magi in the dream. Don't go back to Herod. Go another way. Herod found out. He was enraged. So what did he do? Kill every male child 2 years old and younger, hoping that he would be able to annihilate and destroy that child that had come. Why? Because Satan had control of Herod. The battle was not flesh and blood, but it was in the spiritual realm. But he was using Herod. Joseph was told in a dream, escape with a child and its mother and go to Egypt. Jesus was spared on the cross. He died, put in the grave. And I'm sure Satan thought, I've done it. It's over. I win. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He took the keys of death and hell away from Satan. He has no more power, and he is now seated on the throne. Satan is a defeated foe. And so what has he done? He can't get Jesus any longer, so he attacks those who are his offspring, you and me. That's why we have spiritual warfare. That's why we have the battle that we do. So knowing what the background is it any wonder that we have problems and things come into our life and it seems like there's never a moment's rest? Why? Because Satan hates us with a vengeance. He's furious. Why? Because he knows that his time is short and we are doing the exact opposite of what he wants. He wants to lie, kill, destroy, steal. And what do we want to do? Give life, offer forgiveness, point people to God. It's a life and death struggle in our centers, not only for the life of the child, but in the spiritual realm at the same time. So is it any wonder that opposition is going to come? And every time you get to a new level of ministry, there's a brand new devil, if you would, that's going to come against you, trying to stop whatever God wants to do at your center and through you personally. So as we go through this particular session, that's what it's all about. But God has called us to be warriors, and he wants us to do warfare well, and we can be victorious. But we need to know who our enemy is, what he can do, where he is, how he operates, but who we are and what we can do at the same time. Because God calls us to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Apart from him, though, we can do nothing. But in Christ, all things are possible. Take a look at